On Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, we're going to start from the two dots on the bottom. You'll see it's about 9 lines up from the top, from the bottom. Ushmonasar Dava Gazru. So you remember we spoke about a certain attic in the house of Hananya ben Chizkia, who was one of the great giants of his time. He was the one who saved Sefer Yechezkel, if you remember. And up in his attic, they enacted no less than 18 different gzeros derabbanan. Maininhu, shmona esrei dover. What are these 18 gzeros? Disnan, we start with a Mishnah in Masechta Zavin, in the 5th Perek. And most of what we're going to discuss today is about what I call the protection of Truma. It means that we want to make sure that the Truma is Truma Tahora and not Truma Tmeya. So what they did was, they made Gzeros that would protect Truma and make sure that Truma would not come in contact with any Tuma, any Dabar Tame. Now let's just give a little bit of an introduction here. As far as Torah law is concerned, before we get to the Drabanans, Ochlin u'mashkin are not metame Adam or other Ochlin. So in theory, on a Doraisa level, if I were to eat Ochel that was Tame, I would not contract Tuma. The only exception to that is a case called Nevelas Of Tahar, which means if a kosher bird dies without shechita, then when you eat the flesh of that bird, you contract Tuma. But that's the only ochel that on a Doraisa level will convey Tuma. Generally speaking, on a Doraisa level, we could say that Tuma is contracted from contact with what's called an avatuma, which would mean a dead body, for example, or a sheretz, things of that sort. We'll talk about a zav, maybe. And in a case of an avatuma conveys tuma to everything, which means adam, kalim, ochlin, umashkim. And any of those four categories that come in contact with an avatuma become what's called a rishon letuma. And a rishon letuma would not, on a doraisa level, would not be able to pass its tuma on, and all that becomes what's called a sheni letuma. So a lot of our discussion today is going to be about a sheni letuma. And if a person eats ochlim that were a rishon letuma, that means ochlim that were makabel tuma from an avatuma, so the person who eats those ochlim on a doraisa level is tar, but on a doraisa, on a drabana level, he contracts tuma. And we'll see the nature of that tuma as we go through this sugya, Mirtz Hashem. So we have something called a rishon letuma, and that was either Adam, Kalim, Ochlin, or Mashkim that contracted tuma from an avatuma, and that's all doraisa. And those now pass on their status of tuma to create a sheni letuma. We're going to see that if someone touches a sheni letuma, then he becomes a shlishi letuma. And there's even something called a revi'i letuma. So every time it goes down one level. And if, for example, truma comes in contact with a sheni letuma, then it becomes a shlishi letuma. However, a shlishi letuma does not convey tuma to a revi'i letuma, with one exception, and that's called kodshim. And for that, we'd have to learn Masechta Taras to go into detail. Anyway, let's read the Mishnah in Zavin. Elu poslim esa truma. The following will disqualify truma if they come in contact with the truma. And now we're going to talk about a person who eats ochlin. Ha'ochel, ochel, rishon lutuma. So that means you have food stuff that came in contact with, let's give an example of an avatuma of a sheretz. That food is a rishon lutuma. If a person eats the rishon lutuma, then the Mishnah says he becomes a rishon lutuma, and that's all derabbanan, because as we said before, on a doraisa level, ochlin umashkin could not convey tuma. So the fact that ochlin umashkin now makes a person tame because he eats those ochlin umashkin, that is a gzera derabbanan, which was instituted in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiah. Then we have the same din in the case of ochel ochel sheni, which means that if this rishon l'tumah that came in contact with an avatumah now comes in contact with ochlin, then the ochlin now become a sheni l'tumah, and if a person eats the sheni l'tumah, then he himself becomes tomei, ochel ochel sheni l'tumah, and his status now is such that if he comes in contact with truma, then he passels the truma, and we can no longer eat that truma. Later on, we're going to have a discussion about what we do with that truma. But right now, the truma is passel, and it cannot be eaten for the mitzvah of truma. So we have now two cases of gzeira d'rabbanan, both with regard to ochlin. First, we have the case of someone who eats ochlin that were rishon l'tumah, and then we have the case of someone who eats ochlin that are a sheni l'tumah. And in both cases, the person is now posel truma. Now, what does that mean, posel truma? The truma itself does not become truma t'meya, because truma t'meya, if it came in contact with other truma, would be metame the second truma, but not in this case, because in this case, since the Rabbanan created this new state of tuma for someone who eats a davar tame, that only passels the truma, but it doesn't make the truma t'meya, which means that truma is psula, but it could not, with its contact with other truma, convey a state of tuma, because the truma itself is not truma t'meya, it's truma psula. So we'll keep that in mind as we go along, and Amir Hashem, we'll try to get more into that as we go along. Now the Mishnah goes on and tells us that we have a similar halacha with regard to mashkim, v'hashose mashkim t'meyim. If somebody drinks mashkim t'meyim, then for example, you have some avatuma that came in contact with mashkim, so those liquids now become a rishon l'tumah, and if somebody drinks those liquids, then he becomes a posel hatruma. And we're going to have a long discussion why they had to make a separate gzera on mashkim. L'chora, mashkim and ochlim and hilchas tuma always go together. And if they made a gzera about ha'ochel ochlin tmeim, then the same gzera should apply to mashkim tmeim. But we'll see that there's a major difference between the two. Then we have another gzera. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Sorry, the recording cut out for a second. Person drinks a mashkin tamei, what becomes of him?
He now, if he comes in contact with truma, he passels the truma, just like a person who ate solid food that was tamei. His negia will convey tuma, will disqualify truma, so to a person who drinks mashkim that came in contact with an avatuma, so too he with his negia betruma will passel the truma. Again, our whole discussion here is about the protection of truma. That's really what it's all about here. I mean, if we would really have the time to spend on this sugya properly, we'd have to learn Masechta Trumas. You know, that's a whole Masechta on Trumas. Now, the third gzera. Ve'haba rosho verubo b'mayim she'uvim. We're talking about a person who went into something which he thought perhaps was a mikvah, but it's really not a mikvah. It's similar to a mikvah, perhaps. It's a collection of water, but that water is mayim she'uvim. Mayim she'uvim means, let's say, for example, rainwater that collects in a receptacle. Imagine if you had a big, large bathtub, right? So that water that you pour into the bathtub would be considered mayim she'uvim. And they made a new kind of a tumah that applies to a person who goes into this bathtub, rosho verubo, most of his head and his body. That's called someone who goes into mayim she'uvim. We'll have a whole gemara to try to explain why they made this gezerah. And then we have a similar gezerah, which the gemara is going to say is an extension of this first gezerah, vitar shenaflu al rosho verubo shlosha lugim mayim she'uvim. Now we're talking not about a bathtub, we're talking about a shower where the water comes on his body. And here they made a gzera that if he enters into a shower, and again he's a tar, yet he becomes tame because three lugims worth of mayim she'uvim fell on his head. And again, if we had time, we would discuss how large is a lug, how much of a volume that is. V'chein, another gzera, ha-sefer. In those days, they used to write Tanakh on a vellum, on a cloth, and if a person comes in contact with a sefer, he touches one of the books of Tanakh, then he contracts tumah based on this gzera. V'hayodayim. So too, a person, unless he washes his hands, which is called Netilas Yadayim, his hands are considered tame. And once again, if he would come in contact with Truma, he would convey Tuma to the Truma. Vatful Yom. Tful Yom is a person like, for example, a Balkari, who is tame. He went into the mikvah, but he hasn't yet achieved what's called Harif Shemesh. He's still on that same day. He has to wait until nightfall, until he becomes tar. Now that's a Doraisa halacha. The Gemara is eventually going to take this out of the Brisa. It's a mistake, because we're dealing with all Gzeros Derabbanon. Va'ochlim va'akelim shenitmu b'mashkin. Excuse me. Now we're talking about food, solid food or liquid that came in contact with mashkim tmein. And here we're talking about what's called a sheni lutuma. Once again, once he comes in contact with mashke tome, if he comes in contact with truma, then he passes the truma midrabanon. Now the Gemara is going to begin to analyze this Mishnah piece by piece. First, it starts with the following question. We said that if a person eats a Rishon Lutuma, or alternatively, he eats a Sheni Lutuma, then if he touches Truma, he passes the Truma. Man Tana, which of a Machlokes between two Tanoim that we're about to learn is the Shita that's reflected here in this Mishnah in Masechtas Zavin. And now the Gemara quotes a Braisa that records a Machlokes Tanoim about the nature of this Gzera. First, the Braisa is going to begin with the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, as we'll soon see. It says, in our Mishnah, in Zavin, again, when I say our Mishnah today, I mean Mishnah in Zavin. It says, Ha'ochel ochel Rishon, Ha'ochel ochel Sheni. It says that if he eats Rishon or a Sheni, then what's his status? Is Mifsal Posli, but Muye, on the next daf, Lo Mitamu. his status by eating a machal tameh is such that if he touches truma, he passels the truma. But that truma, if, as we said before, if it comes in contact with other truma, does not convey tuma, and that's called tmuyeh lo mitameh. This truma does not become truma tmeya, and therefore it would not have any impact on another truma that it comes in contact with. Amar Rabba Barachana Rabbi Yeshua hi. Our Mishnah in Zovin reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua in a machlokes that's codified in a Mishnah in Taros between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Let's learn the machlokes between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, and then we'll come back to the Mishnah in Zovin to understand why Rabbi says that the Mishnah in Zovin reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua. Disnan. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ha'ochel ochel rishon rishon, ha'ochel ochel sheni sheni. If you eat a rishon lituma, then your status is that of a rishon lituma. A rishon lituma is mitame truma, which means that truma, if it comes in contact with other truma, would invalidate the other truma. In other words, if a person eats a rishon lituma, right, that means ochlin that came in contact with an avatuma, then after he eats the rishon lituma, right, food that came in contact with an avatuma, now by eating the rishon lituma, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he becomes a rishon lituma, which means that if he touches truma, the truma becomes a sheni lutruma. And a sheni lutruma, in the case of truma, would actually have an impact on truma. If it came in contact with truma, that would make the truma into what's called a shlishi lutruma, which is possible. And now Rabbi Eliezer says, ha'ochel ochel sheni, then he becomes a sheni lutruma. Again, a sheni lutruma would only passel truma, but it doesn't make that truma into truma tmeya, such that truma would have any impact on other truma. Only a rishon lituma, when he comes in contact with truma, that truma now could convey a psul to the third to the next truma. Ha'ochel shlishi, shlishi lituma. Now, what's the status of a shlishi lituma? A shlishi lituma could create a revi lituma, but that's only as far as kudshim is concerned. So if this person who ate a shlishi became a shlishi, he could not convey any sort of a psul by touching truma. A shlishi could only have an impact on kudshim, but not on truma. This is the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So again, what's important for us to understand now in Rabbi Eliezer is that if a person eats a rishon lutuma, which means ochlin that came in contact with an avatuma, he himself becomes a rishon lutuma, which means that if he touches truma, he makes the truma into a sheni lutuma, which can now convey a psul truma to another truma that it comes in contact with. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, ha'ochel ochel rishon ve'ha'ochel ochel sheni, in both cases sheni lituma. Sheni lituma means that if he touches truma, he passels the truma, but he doesn't make it into truma tmeya, and therefore that truma that he touches, even though he ate a rishon lituma, would not have any impact on other truma, because we're talking about a sheni lutuma. Shlishi lekodesh. If he eats shlishi lutuma, then he's metame kodshim, that's a separate din in kodshim, and he makes the kodshim into a shlishi lutuma, which means that if that kodshim as a shlishi lutuma comes in contact with other kodshim, then it passels the other kodshim. The ain sheni lutruma. But the person who ate shlishi lutuma does not become a sheni lutuma, such that he would pasel truma, but he becomes a shlishi lutuma, and with his maga in kudshim, he makes the kudshim into a revi lutuma. Now, Rabbi Yoshua explains his opinion, and he says the following. There's something called chulin shenasu altaras truma, which means, until now, all our discussions have been about truma. Now we're talking about something that's not truma, but it is truma. What does it mean when it's not truma and it is truma? That's called chulin shenasu altaras truma. They were so anxious about truma and protecting truma that they accepted upon themselves, a special group of people, these were the pious people, that they would treat chulin as if those chulin were truma. And that would be our chaka, so that if in the worst case scenario they would somehow have a contact of tuma with these ochlin, it would be chulin, it wouldn't be truma. They would get used to staying away from chulin, and that's called chulin shenasu al taras truma. They would consider the chulin as if it was truma, and all the dinim that would apply as far as tuma vitara is concerned to truma would now apply to chulin. And what that means is that if they would, let's say a man would come in contact with a sheni lutuma, he would now become a shlishi lutuma, and that din of making him a shlishi lutuma would now, as we said before, have an impact on truma. Okay, now the Gemara is going to clarify what was the reason for all these gzeros. But wait, before we get to that, let's just point out why Rabbah assumes that our Mishnah in Zavin reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua and not that of Rabbi Eliezer. And the answer is that according to Rabbi Yeshua, whether he eats a Rishon Lutuma or he eats a Sheni Lutuma, he becomes a Sheni Lutuma, which means that when he has contact with Truma, he passels the Truma, but he doesn't make it into Truma Tmeya. That's against Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer, if you remember, held that a Ochel Rishon Lutuma Nasa Rishon Lutuma, which means that now if he eats Rishon Lutuma and then he touches Truma, he makes the Truma into a Sheni Lutuma, which means the Truma is now Tmeya and it could passel other Truma when it comes in contact with other Truma. As opposed to Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua says that even if he eats a Rishon Lutuma, his status is that of a sheni lutuma, which means that when he touches truma, he's not metame the truma to passel all the truma. He only passels that truma, which would be neutral as far as its contact with other truma. But now the Gemara is going to clarify the dinim here of ha'ochel ochel rishon. So again, we're going to say the following. If you're following the Gemara now, ha'ochel ochel rishon. If a person eats a Rishon Lutuma, va'ochel ochel Sheni Lutuma, in both these cases, he will now pasel Truma b'negiyoso. My taima gazu be'rabbanon. What motivated the Chachamim to institute this gzera? And the answer is, the zimnin di ochel ochlin tmeim. We're afraid of the following scenario. A person, if we don't keep him away from eating ochel tomei, he'll put ochel tomei into his mouth, and then he has what's called mashkin shel truma. Now, mashkin shel truma, on a doraisa level, we're talking about wine or oil. Zesim v'anovim. So let's take the case of anovim. He's got wine. That wine is truma. If he drinks the wine while he has ochlin tmeim in his mouth, That's called Vishade Lefume. So he drinks down the wine while he has Ochel Tomei in his mouth. Pasaluhu. Then he passels the Truma. And the Torah says that we have to be very careful about Truma and maintain its status as Truma Tahora. So they made a gzera that a person should know that if he eats Ochel Tomei and then he touches Truma, he will passel the Truma Binigiyaso. Then it says, Hashosa Mashkim Tmeim. If he drinks Mashke Tomei, my time gozu be Rabbonin Tuma. So the Gemara says, Zimnin Dishosa Mashkim Tmeim. Maybe he'll drink Mashke that's Tomei. Shokil Ochlin, now he puts food, which is Truma, into his mouth, Shadi Lefume, Upasalahu. And now he passels the Truma because he has in his mouth liquids that are Tmeim together with Truma. So the Gemara asks, Hainu Hach, why do we need two different gzeros? One is for a person who eats Machlim Tmeim, the other is a person who drinks Mashkim Tmeim. Mao de Tema, I would have thought. Hashkichi v'haloshkichi. It's quite common for a person to eat some solid food and he wants to drink some liquids to wash it down. That's called shkichi. But it's very unusual, loshkichi. It's not something that we expect, that a person puts liquid into his mouth and then while he has the liquid in his mouth, he takes something solid into his mouth. That's unusual, and maybe since it's unusual, the gzera would not apply to the case of someone who is shose mashkim tmeim, kamashmalon, the Tan has to teach me. No, there was an additional gzera for the case of shose mashkim tmeim. Next, haba rosho verubo b'mayim she'uvim. Right, we said he went into a bathtub on the very day that he was tovel from his tuma. So imagine the case, for example, of a bal keri. He jumps into the mikvah, and then during the course of the day, he jumps into a bathtub. He becomes tumen. My time a gozu be rabban and tuma. What's so terrible about taking a bath after he went to the mikveh? Amar Rav Vive, Amar Rav Asi, Shebetchila. Let's go back historically. What was the situation like before this gzera? Hayutovlim b'mei ma'aros mechunasim. There were pools of rainwater that gathered together in various caves, and they would go in there, and if it had 40 saw, they would be tovel there. Usruchim. But the water inside these caves were filthy. They had a smell to them. So what did they do? Hayunosnim aleim mayim she'uvim. After they went to the tvila, they would then, you know, make sure that their body would be covered by clean water. They would take a bath, so to speak. And then, hischilu vasom keva. People began to think that this is halachically binding, that it's not enough to go into a mikvah, but you have to wash yourself off after the mikvah. It's therefore to make sure that they wouldn't make this mistake and think that they have to go into the bathtub after the mikvah, gazrucha aleim tuma. So they conveyed a message by saying that they became tumah. So the boy asks, my keva, what's going on over here? What conclusion did they come to that got us so nervous? Amar Abai, shall you omer? They began to think lo elu mitarim ela elu v'elu. They thought that tefillah to mikvah is not in and of itself sufficient to be mitarim them. They need to wash themselves off in a bathtub. Elu v'elu mitarim. They need X plus Y. Amalei Rava, so Rava turns to Abai, says, "My nafkimina, hakatavli bahanach. What do we care if they mistakenly came to the conclusion that they need both tefillah and a mikvah and a bath?" Ela Amar Rava, Rava says, "You have to reformulated a little bit. Shayu omrim lo elu ela elu. Lo elu mitarin, elu elu mitarin. The Rabbanu were afraid that people would begin to think that it wasn't the jumping into the mikvah that created Tara, but it was the Mayim She'uvim in the bathtub that created the Tara. And therefore we have a very dangerous situation here with people are beginning to think that going into a bathtub of Mayim She'uvim, water that was collected in a bath, you know, that's enough to be Matara them. And the Torah says in Vayikra Yud Aleph, it says, Ach Mayon Ubar Mikveh Mayim Yiatar. Right? We need a certain kind of water which is called the Mayim Chayim, Mayim Mei Mikvah of a Mayon or a bar. Only that's considered a bar is part of the karka, meaning it's not a kli, right? Mayim Shuvah means you collected it in a kli. So they said that if a person, after he goes to the mikvah, now he comes into water, Rosho Verubo, and that's called Mayim She'uvim, then he is Tameh, which means that if he comes in contact with Truma, he's going to passel the Truma. Now we have the next Gzera, Tar. Now we're talking about a person who doesn't go to the mikvah. He's Tar. And Naflu Al Rosho, he took a shower. And what fell on his head and his body? Shlosha Lugim Mayim Shuvim. My time of Gozu Be Rabban and Tuma. Why did Rabban have to institute Tuma? That if he touches Truma, he passels the Truma. Here we're talking about a Tar. We're not talking about a person who went into the mikvah because he was Tomei and then he came out and he took a bathtub. We're talking about a Tar who took a shower. What's the problem? And the Gemara answers, D'ilo ha lo kaimi ha. That if they wouldn't make this second gzera, that a person who's a tar could also be considered tamei to some extent, right? That if he passels the truma b'negiyoso, lo kaima ha, then the gzera about a person who is tamei and went into the mikvah and afterwards went into a bathtub, they wouldn't be able to maintain that gzera. Lo tiskayim gzera zu bi adam shetoval. So the real gzera is a person who went to tefillah and afterwards he went into a bathtub. But they had to give a certain strength to that gzera and extend it because people didn't think that, you know, they thought it would be counterintuitive that if they went to a bathtub to clean themselves off after a mikvah, that would make them into tamei. So in order to, we say in Yiddish, hakarayim, you know, to make sure that they understood that this problem is a serious problem, they made another gzera of naflu olav shlosha lugim rosho verubo b'mayim she'uv. Next we have the next case in the Mishnah in Zovin, v'sefer. If a person comes in contact with one of the Tanakh, the books of Tanakh, and then he touches Truma, he passels the Truma. My time of Gozu Be Rabbon and Tuma. Why should a person who picks up a Sefer contract Tuma? Why? What was the reason for this Gzera? And here's a very interesting sociological phenomenon. Amar Rav Misharshia B'tchila, before this Gzera, Hoyu Matzniyim Es Ha'ochlin De Truma Eitzel Sefer Torah. If they had food that was Truma, where would they store it? They would store it next to a Sefer Torah. Sounds pretty odd. The Amru, this is what they declared. Hai Kodesh, the Sefer Torah has Kedusha to it. Vahai Kodesh, and the Truma has Kedusha to it. Came on, right? So that it makes sense that if you're looking for a place to put Truma, put it, you know, together with the Sefer Torah. That's where it belongs. They're both Kodesh. Interesting thought. And what happened as a result? Came into Kachazu. What the Rabbanan realized was that the Kachazu de Pseida, this was causing the ruination of the Sfarim. Why? Because the creatures, you know, the mice and so forth, they would look for this food. And once they would attack the food, they would start attacking the Sfarim. And Gozu Be Rabbanan Tuma, in order to convey the message, hey man, Truma should not be placed near a Sefer, they said that if truma comes in contact with the sefer, it becomes tamei. Hayadayim? Why do they require netilas yadayim? And they made it clear that the yadayim are considered tmeos. Mipneisha yadayim askonios hein. So here Rashi quotes his Rebbeim, and then he disagrees with his Rebbeim. His Rebbeim understood that yadayim askonios hein, which means the hands are moving around and they're touching different things, meant that they might come in contact with a dover tamei. So Rashi says that if the hands came in contact with the dover tamei, then you would really require tefillas kol gufo. The tefillas yadayim would not be enough. So he asks a whole bunch of questions on his Rebbeim, and instead he says that this issue really has to do more with cleanliness. Yadayim askonios hein means that the yadayim will come in contact with all sorts of filth. And if he touches truma now, the truma becomes repulsive. People don't want to eat the truma. That's called mos. And therefore they said that yadayim requires netilas yadayim. And we're going to consider it as tmeos unless you do netilas yadayim. So if a person touches truma, he passes the truma unless he had washed his hands beforehand. Tana, we have a brisa. Af yadayim habos machmas hasefer poslos esatruma. Not only when hands come in contact without netilas yadayim to truma, it passes the truma, but if hands came in contact with a sefer, then he touched truma, passes the truma. The Gemara is going to ask a question soon. Why do I need an extra gzera in a case where he touched the sefer? Anyway, his yadayim are tmeos. So we'll get to that in just a minute. Is now Mishum Rav Parnach, the Omer Rav Parnach, we're trying to explain why they made a gzera that if you touch a sefer and then you touch truma, you passel the truma. The Omer Rav Parnach, Omer Rav Yochanan, ha'ochez b'sefer Torah orum, nikbar orum. Okay, now if a person touches a sefer Torah without any sort of mantle, notice he has direct contact with the sefer Torah, he's not allowed to do that. And if he does that, which is called arum, arum means, you know, his body comes direct contact, then he'll be buried without tachrichim. He'll be buried naked. So the Gemara says, arum salkadaitach? Is that really possible? Who would imagine that we would bury a body naked? That's not possible. So the Gemara answers, El Amar Abzera Arum below mitzvos. It doesn't mean literally that he's naked when we bury his body, but rather he has no mitzvos. He's like naked of mitzvos. Once again, the Gemara attacks, below mitzvos halkadaita? Is it possible to assume that he has no mitzvos? Okay, he shouldn't have touched the Sefer Torah directly. But what does it mean? He forfeits all his mitzvahs. Ela Ema, we have to reformulate the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, Arom below Osa mitzvah. In other words, let's say he held the Sefer Torah for a certain purpose. He wanted to learn from the Sefer Torah. He will not get rewarded for his Torah that he studied after he took the Sefer in his hands without some sort of a separation between his hands and the Sefer Torah. Now the Gemara asks the following question. Hey, Gozer Bereisha. Which of these two Gzeros historically came first? There's one Gzera called Stam Yodayim, right? That Yodayim without Netilas Yodayim are Tveos and they passel Truma. And then we have the case of Yodayim that came in contact with the Sefer Torah. Ilema ha Gozer Bereisha. If you're going to tell me that first, historically, they had a gzera on Stam Yodayim, and then subsequently they made a gzera on Yodayim that touch a sefer, here we're turning to Daf Yudalad Amid Beis, and the Gemara says, Keva Dahach Gozer Bereisha Su Lomali. Once they made a gzera on Stam Yodayim, then what do you gain by adding another gzera if your Yodayim came in contact with a sefer? Ella, but we have to turn around the historical progression. Hach gozu bereisha. The sequence is they first made gzeira on the case of yadayim that came in contact with the sefer, and those yadayim will pasul truma ve'hadar, and then subsequently gozu bekula yadayim. They made an all-inclusive gzeira that yadayim, whenever they come in contact with truma, if you haven't washed your hands beforehand, they pasul the truma. Now the Mishnah mentions tful yom, that if a tful yom, it means he went to the mikvah, but it's before Harif Shemesh, he comes in contact with truma, he pasuls the truma. Says the Gemara, tful yom do raisahu. The Torah tells us that a tful yom is not tar if he goes to the mikvah during the day until nightfall. I don't need a gzeiros chachamim. We're listing here the 18 gzeiros of Beisil Beit Shammah. Dechsiv, the Torah says, Uba Shemesh v'tar. V'tayer. Sami mikan tful yom. Cross it out. It's a mistake. It doesn't belong in this price. So this price is listing all the gzeiros derabbanan. I'm sorry, when I said price, I really mean the Mishnah in Zavin. Okay. Now, we go back to the Mishnah again, and it says, V'ochlin shenitmu b'mashkin, that if ochel comes in contact with mashkin, and then the ochel comes in contact with truma, it passes the truma. The Gemara says, mashkin demai. Where are these mashkin coming from? You're talking about mashkin that came in contact with ochlin. How did the mashkin themselves become tomei? Elam, if you're going to tell me, b'mashkim haboim machmas sheretz. In other words, let's say a sheretz came in contact with mashkin, with liquids, and that sheretz has the status of what's called an av hatuma. And an av hatuma, as we said at the outset, if you recall, is metamei adam v'kelim ochlin u'mashkim, is doraisa ninhu. The status of that mashkim as a rishon l'tumah, such that it conveys tumah to another ochel, that's a doraisa halacha. D'chsiv, the Torah says, v'chol mashka asher yishta is yitma. And that's the case, for example, let's take a case of a zav, right? A zav is an av hatuma. And if the av hatuma drinks mashke, then the Torah says that mashke is tame. And that's tame, that's a rishon l'tuma. That's a dorais halacha. Ella, but rather, this gzeira that we're talking about where mashkin conveys tuma to ochlin is b'mashkin aboy machmas yodayim. Which means that without doing the tils yadayim, he came in contact with mashkim. The mashkim become a rishon l'tumah, but that's only derabbanan based on the gzera of stam yadayim. Once that mashkim come in contact with his yadayim, then if those mashkim, which now became midrabbanan, a rishon l'tumah, come in contact with ochlim, the ochlim become a sheni l'tumah, which passels truma, ugzera mishum mashkim haboim machmas sheretz. They were afraid that somebody would confuse these mashkim, which came in contact with yodayim, with mashkim that came in contact with the sheretz. In other words, if you wouldn't institute this gzera of mashkim that came in contact with yodayim, to make sure that the status of the mashkim is that of just 1 second. Ela b'mashkim aboyim machmas yodayim. That means, again, he made the mashkim into a rishon l'tumah midrabbanan. If not for that, then a person would think that maybe mashkim that came in contact with the sheretz, which is an aviyah vos hatumah, maybe that too is only some sort of a secondary kind of maga that doesn't engender tumah. Now the Mishnah mentions kelim shenitmu b'mashkin. If you have a utensil that came in contact with mashkin, and then you put truma into the utensil, that truma becomes posel with its contact with the kelim. So the Gemara asks, kelim de itamu b'mashkin demai. How did these utensils become tame through some sort of contact with mashkim? What kind of mashkim are we dealing with? Elema, if we're talking about mashkim dezav. Mashkim dezav means that if a person had re'ias zav, which means he had two re'ios, either on the same day or two consecutive days, and then something comes out of his body, some sort of a liquid, which would either be saliva, it could be his ziva itself, it could be his urine, meraglayim. All that is called an avatum. Again, that's a very unique halacha in the halacha of zav, that the mashkim of a zav, the liquids that come out of a body of a zav, have the status of an avatuma. So that's not regular mashkim that we're talking about. I mean, an avatuma would be mitame odom v'kelim ochlenu mashkim, and that's all doraisa. So what are you telling me about a keli that came in contact with the rok of a zav? That keli is tomei doraisa. I don't need a gzera derabbanan for that. The ksiv, the Torah says in the parasha of zav, in Vayikra Tesvav, v'chi arok hazav b'tahar, and then it says that that person contracts tumah because of his contact with the roke of a zav. So we see that the roke of a zav, or any mashka that comes out of the body of a zav, is an av hatuma, and it's metame odom v'kelim ochlenu mashkin. And the Gemara says, now these kelim that came in contact with the mashka of a zav, and those kelim now have contracted tuma de'oraisa, that's an exeris chachamim, is Masha Biyad Tor Timesi Lecha. In such a case, that kli is now Tomei, and if you put Truma into that kli, it now becomes Tomei, and that's all Doraisa. Elo B'mashkin Aboy Machmas Sheretz. But rather, we're talking about a case of Mashkim that came in contact with a Sheretz, and those Mashkim do not have the status of an avatuma, like the case of mashkim of a zav. They have the status of a rishon l'tuma. And a rishon l'tuma, as we said over and over again, does not convey tuma to keli. This entire tuma to the keli is all drabanan. Ugzera mishum mashkim dezav. The chachom were worried about the case of mashkim that came in contact with the sheretz, that somebody would confuse that with the case of mashkim of a zav. Mashkim of a zav is a rishon l'tuma, and therefore, midrabanan, in a case of mashkim that came in contact with the sheretz, they gave the status of a rishon l'tuma that would apply to the kelim, such that the kelim now would be posel truma. The Gemara asks, Yodayim, Talmidei Shammai Vehil Gazur? This Mishnah lists all the gzeros that were instituted in the Aliyah of Hananya, when the Talmidim Beit Shammai Beis Hillel had this debate about these 18 gzeros, and then they took a vote, and it turned out the Talmidim Beit Shammai were greater in number than those of Beis Hillel. So the Gemara asks, No. Shammai v'Hillel Gozer. The Gzera of Yodayim, which is listed here amongst the 18 Gzeros, predates this Aliyah of Hananya, this great debate between the Talmidim. It goes back to the earlier generation of Shammai v'Hillel. The Sanya we have a Braisa. Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Tzed of Yossi ben Yochanan, Ish Yushalayim. Gozer Tuma, number one, Al Eretz Ha'amim. Number two, Al Klei Zchuchis. Now, what's Eretz Amim? In Chutz Laaretz, where the Goyim lived, it was very unclear where exactly they buried the dead. So therefore, these two great scholars enacted a gzera that if somebody goes to Chutz Laaretz, then he's considered tame, because we have a suffolk, maybe he came in contact with a kever of goyim. They also instituted an extension of what's called tumas kelim. The Torah lists all the kelim that would contract tumah. One of them is not, the one that's omitted on that list is a clay zchuchit, a glassware, but he instituted a tumah midrabanan. These two greats, a gzera of tumah midrabanan on clay zchuchis. Shimon ben Shetach, he instituted another enactment called ksubas ksuba leisha, which means that a husband has to write what's called a shibud, a lien on his property for the sake of paying the ksuba. And Shimon ben Shetach added another gzera, gozar tuma al kli matachos. Okay, that requires a lot of discussion. If we have time, we'll see. And shamevil gozu tuma al yadayim. So we see that already at the time of Shammai Vehil, the early generation, they already said that Stam Yodayim, if they come in contact with Truma without Netilas Yodayim, they will passel the Truma. So how could it be that we list amongst the 18 Gzeros of Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai Tumas Yodayim, the Chi Tema, and perhaps you'll answer that it really wasn't Shammai and Hillel who successfully propagated this gzera of Tumas Yadayim, of Stam Yadayim. It was Shammai v'Seyoso, Shammai and his Talmidim, v'Hil v'Seyoso, and Hillel and his Talmidim. So that can't be either. Why? Because Omar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, Shmona Sardovar Gozru, on that day that they were up in the attic of Hananya, there were 18 gzeros. Apparently, those 18 gzeros were undebated. They were unanimously accepted. Then, ubishmonasar, there was another 18 gzeros, nechleku, they debated, and then they took a vote, and Talmidei Beit Shammai were in the majority. The ilu, Shammai, vehillel, lo nechleku, ela, Bishlosha Makomos. According to Shmuel, there were only three different issues about which Hillel and Shammai themselves had a machlokas. The Omer Avuna, Bishlosha Makomos, Nechleku, meaning Hillel v'Shammai, Visula. Now, if you're telling me that Hillel and Shammai themselves were involved in this gzera of the 18 gzeras with regard to Tumas Yadayim, then they must have had a machlokas about Tumas Yadayim. In fact, you're implying that they had a machlokas about 18 different gzeros. So how could you tell me they only had a machlokas about three issues? V'chitema, and if you'll suggest, the Asu Inu, in other words, Shammai and Hill came along, Gozru Litlos, they say that if a person has Yadayim without Netilas Yadayim, and he comes in contact with Truma, what do we do with that Truma? Well, we consider it like a suffolk. A suffolk, in the case of truma, we don't know if it's tummy or not, is tolin. Tolin means we don't eat it and we don't burn it. We also talmidayu, and now, in the next generation, the talmidim Beisil Beit Shammai, they came along with Gozu Lisrof. They upgraded this gzera of tumas yadayim, stam yadayim, such that if your yadayim come in contact with truma, they passel the truma completely, what we call a tumas vadai, not a tumas safek, and you have to burn the truma. That can't be either, because historically, already from the get-go, whenever they started with this gzera, it was not stage number one of litlos, but Omar Ilfa, one of the chachamim named Ilfa, said that the gzera of Yadayim, bitchila, tchilas gzerason, from the very get-go, was Lisrefa. There was no middle stage of Tlia. They went straight for the gargle, as we say. And they said that any truma that came in contact with Yadayim has to be burnt. It has the status of Trumas Vadai. So therefore, we can't say that Hillel and Shammai agreed on a gzera on a low level, where Yadayim would only create Tliya, and then afterwards the Talmidim upgraded it and expanded the scope of that Gzeira to include Sreifa. But rather, Hill and Shammai already instituted Sreifa. Ella, but rather, this is the final answer to the Gemara. Asu Inu, in other words, in the first generation of Hill and Shammai, Gozer. They wanted to make this Gzeira on Stam Yadayim, that if Yadayim without Netila come in contact with Truma, we have to burn the Truma. The lo kibble minayu. In that generation, the people did not accept that gzera. Imagine instituting the Tils Yadayim. I mean, that's pretty far-reaching. They weren't ready to accept it. But then in the next generation, Asu Talmidayu, the Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai came along, Gazu, they made the gzera on Stam Yadayim, the kiblu minayim, and the people accepted. The Gemara asks, Vakati, I don't understand. Are you telling me that there was no institution of Netilas Yadayim until the time of Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai? Shlomo Gozar. Shlomo himself made this Gzera of Tumas Yadayim. How do I know this? The Omer Rabbi Yudom HaShmuel, B'shosh Atikein Shlomo Erevin U'Netilas Yadayim. Shlomo himself made two major contributions. One was the Takana of what we call Eruv Chatzeros, which means if two people, two homes, share a common courtyard, we have to make it Eruv, which would allow us to take from the Rishus HaYochid out into the Chatzer. Unetilos Yadayim, it means that Yadayim without Netilo Atmeos. And Yotza Baskol, a heavenly voice came out of the Shamayim and Viomen declared about Shlomo HaMelech in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'ni, this is a pasuk in Mishlei, B'ni, Im Chacham, Chacham Libecha, Yismach Libi Gam Ani, Chacham Libi V'Sameach Libi V'Ashiva Charfi Dover. In other words, that God declares how happy He was that Shlomo HaMelech made these two takanos. So once again, how can you tell me that the Gzera of Stam Yadayim Tmeos was instituted by Shammai and Hillel and later codified by Beis Hillel Beit Shammai? The Gemara answers, Asa. Here we're going to take a look at the top line on Daf Tes Vav. Asa Shlomo, the Gaza Lekodshim, the Asu Inu, the Gaza Aflitruma. The original Gzera of Shlomo Melch was only Yadayim Tmeos Lekodshim, which means that Stam Yadayim, if they come in contact with Kodshim, they would passel the Kodshim. And Asu Inu, in the next generation, in many generations later, at the time of Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, they made the Gzera to expand Tumas Yadayim, Stam Yadayim, to include even Truma. Truma is on a lower level than Kodshim, and without Netilas Yadayim, any contact with between one's hands and the Truma would now passel the Truma. Okay, then this is where we're going to stop. I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbos, and thank you so much. I mean, there's so many things